So now we will have our script with Tenali.
This is a story from the Bible, from the book of Luke, chapter 15. It is a story that Jesus told. There was once a father. Who had two sons. The older brother was really good at following rules. Then there was the younger brother. He cared about his dad's money. So he went up to his dad and he said,
"Father, give me myself the house."
So the father divided the property between his two sons and gave his younger son the cash. So soon after that, the younger son packed his bags and went far, far away and began to eat and drink and have lots of fun with his friends. But soon, he ran out of money. And there was a severe famine in the whole land. There was no food. And he needed help. So he went and became a hired worker to a citizen of that country who sent him out to the fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he thought, "Hang on, the servants in my father's house always have food to spare, but here I am, starving to death. I know. I'll set out, go back to my father, and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants.'" So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and gave him a big hug. The son said,
"Father, I am sinning against heaven and against you. I am not worthy to be called your son."
But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it upon him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and cook them steak. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. But meanwhile, the older servant was out in the field, working hard. He called a servant and said, "What's going on?" The servant said, "Oh, your brother has come back, and your father has killed the fattened calf and made steak, because he is safe and sound." The older brother became very angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you. I never disobeyed your orders, and you never even gave me a goat to celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours uses up all your money, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. The father said,
My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours.
But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.
Great. Oh, what is this? Microphone working? I think it is. Well, wasn't that great? Yes, yes. Another big hand for those guys. And for Rosita with your wonderful solo. My name is Phil Snelling, and I'm one of the pastors here. And I've been, along with quite a few of the church members here, we've been running the Holiday Kids program this week. And it's been a lot of fun, let me tell you. We've enjoyed having you guys, some of the kids around. And being a part of our program, and that's been exciting for us. I'm going to ask you a question. What does your family look like? Because this is my family up here. This is my family. I am the oldest son. I also happen to be the tallest. I noticed that. That's right. And then my wife, my kids. You can see my parents down the front, and then my younger brother, and with his family, his wife and family, and then my younger sister off to the side. That's my family, but what about your family? Who's in your family? How about now you turn to someone near you, someone who's not in your family, and ask them, do you have any brothers or sisters? Are you the oldest or the youngest? Do your grandparents live with you? So go do that now. Talk, who's in your family? Okay, how did we go? Can we find out a little bit more about each other? It sounds like everyone was quite excited to hear about their family. Maybe if you didn't get a chance to ask about the family, maybe later we're going to have some lovely morning tea and you can talk about it there. Everyone's still keen. Okay. This is Macquarie University, and I used to be a Bible teacher for international students there. And every year we had many new students, and many of them were from overseas. A few years ago, our group asked these new students a survey. We gave them a survey to fill out, just about some questions about their opinions, about life, things like that. And we asked one question here, which is, what is most important in your life? What is most important in your life? Now, we made it that they could only choose one thing. And you probably can't see up there, but you could probably guess what was the one thing they chose. They chose family and friends. That's in the blue. Almost three out of every four people chose family or friends as the most important in their life. You see, your family is special, isn't it? Your family are your biggest supporters often. Your family stick together. It's a place of love, isn't it? Is that what your family looks like? But if we're honest, maybe sometimes our family doesn't quite look like that, does it? Not always. Sometimes they don't stick together. Sometimes it's not that special, or it's not really the place of love. You see, we just heard a skit about a story Jesus told. Jesus told a story about a family. a family with two sons, at least, and we got introduced to the father and the two sons. But there was a problem. Now, here's another question and another chance to talk again. Okay. Which do you think was the better son? So you just saw it, acted out. Was it the younger son, the one who went away, or was it the older son? Which do you think you'd call the better son? Maybe the more obedient son, the, yes, Kwagwai. Okay, go talk to each other now. Maybe the same people. Who do you think was the better, the younger or the older? And I'll ask you at the end. Okay. Okay, let's come back together. Let's vote for it. Okay, ready? Okay, who thinks it's the younger son? The younger son. Hands up for the younger son, the better son. Oh, okay, yeah. A few. What about the older son? The older son. Oh, yes, of course, right? And you know what? I think it's kind of on the outside. It's a bit obvious, right? The younger son ran away. He kind of wished his father dead. But you know what? It's a trick question, because both those sons dishonored their father. Both those sons disobeyed their father. It might not be exactly obvious straight away, but it's true. They both disrespected their father. It was a broken family. You see, the younger son, he cared more about his father's money. Remember, money, money, money? And when he asked for his fair share of his father's money, he may as well said to his dad, "Drop dead, Dad," because that's what he wanted. He wanted the money from when his father would die, the inheritance. He wasn't caring about his family. He just wanted the good things from his dad, and then he left. He took off. He didn't care about the relationship. The older son, maybe on the outside, he looked a bit better, didn't he? He worked hard. He followed all the rules. He looked like a caring son. But then on the inside, he was thinking to himself, "I do all these good things. I deserve something from my dad. And I definitely deserve more than my brother, the one who ran away." He didn't see himself as a son. Do you know what? He actually saw himself more as a slave or a servant. He compared himself to the servants, not to the son. In his heart, he didn't really care about his relationship with his brother or his father as much as earning what he deserved, his right. It seems a terrible family, doesn't it? A broken family. So why would Jesus tell a story like this? Why would Jesus tell a story about a family broken like this? Well, Jesus told many stories like this, and you may have heard some of them, because he wants to show us with what we can see and what we know about God, who is unseen, who we don't know unless Jesus tells us. Jesus told stories about things happening on earth to show us, in just a little way that we can understand, about things in heaven where God is. And in this story, Jesus is telling us what we are like and what God is like. That's right, this story tells us a bit about ourselves, but also tells us about God as well. You see, these two sons in this broken family are like two different kinds of people. Two different kinds of people. And they were actually the two different kinds of people that were actually listening in to Jesus' story as he was telling it. You see, before he told this story, we're told exactly who is listening. It says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners," they're one group, they were gathering around and they wanted to listen to Jesus. But then there's another group, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, and they're muttering. They're saying under their breath, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." I don't think that's a good thing. Well, the people who were listening were these two groups. There was the sinners and the tax collectors. I'm going to call them the rebellious people. And then there were the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They're the religious people. Let's start with these rebellious people. You see, they were people who live ignoring or not wanting to think about God. They ignore God. They act like he doesn't exist. Or maybe they don't know God. They couldn't care less about God. And this is the God who made them and everything in the world. And they just don't want to know. They might say, look, God, you don't exist. You don't matter. I'll live my own way. And when you treat people, when you treat God like that, you're rebellious, or what the Bible calls, and what they were called here by the Pharisees, sinners, people who are in rebellion against God. But the other people were religious people. These kind of people, they think they know God. And so they live a good life on the outside. They live by the rules. They do the right thing. But when they make so many rules, it becomes about whether they can keep them or not, whether other people. They don't think about God. They don't think about other people. They just focus on themselves. And they might say, God, I'm doing awfully well for myself here. I'm keeping all your rules. You should treat me very well. Thank you very much. I'm a good servant of yours. And yeah, treat me well. Thank you very much. After all I've done for you. Now, can you see here that these two groups of people are like the two different sons in the story? They match the people that are listening. There were rebellious people, like the younger son, who ignored God. They didn't want to have a relationship with, the younger son didn't want to have a relationship with his father. And they lived like he didn't exist. And then there were the religious people, people like the older son, who treated other people badly, disrespected their father, God. And when Jesus told this story, it was like he was holding a mirror up to all the people who were listening, a mirror that they could see themselves. Because he wanted to show them what they're really like before God. And so everyone who listens to this story shows how they treat God. Some people, they are rebellious against God. They either ignore him or don't want to have anything to do with him. And then there's the people who appear religious and do the right thing, but they're just focused on themselves. They disrespect God and other people as well, treating them badly. And so the question Jesus is getting us and the people who are listening to think about is, which of these sons are you most like? Are you rebellious towards God, or do you religious towards God? Do you ignore him and the relationship that God is wanting with you, or do you disrespect God? You're focusing on all the good things what God can give you rather than on God himself and having a relationship with him. See, this story was about a broken family because of the broken sons. But it's more than that. There's so much more in this story, because this story also has a family who has a beautiful father. That's what this story is about. This story is more than the sons. It's about the beautiful father. This father is beautiful because the father loves both his sons. The father is patient and listens to both his sons. The father cares for both his sons. The father forgives both these sons. You see that? And this beautiful father is a picture of the beautiful God. This perfect father in the story is actually getting us to think about the perfect God, the Father. The loving Father represents the loving God. Loving, patient, caring, forgiving. That's what God's like. It's a picture of our Heavenly Father. God is the perfect Father who loves and who cares, who forgives and patiently waits for his children. What kind of relationship do you have with God the Father? What's your story about you and God? Now, my story is that I was the rebellious child. Now, you might not have picked that one, would you? See, I grew up in a Christian family, but that didn't necessarily mean that I was Christian on the inside, right? Because remember, we're talking about the outside, following the rules, doing what's expected, as opposed to what's on the inside. And I was angry all the time. Maybe it wasn't always seen on my face, but inside I just had anger. I'd get into fights with other kids. I'd destroy things. I'd throw things. And then one day at school, don't do this, kids, I was throwing rocks. And I threw a rock and whew, pow, it broke the teacher's car windscreen in the car park. Whoa, was I going to be in trouble? Well, guess what? As often happens, it was discovered that it was me. I was the one that had thrown the rock. And so I was sent off to see the principal of the school, the headmaster. Now, I had visited the principal's office many times before. And back when I was a child, I don't know about you, but yes, that's right. I used to receive one of these things, a cane, a stick. The principal back then could hit the little children, sorry, this is very mean, but give them a bit of punishment. So I was sitting outside the principal's office, and I was scared because I was thinking I was going to get this again. Yeah, that's another story. But I was thinking I was going to get this again, right? And so I'm scared. But that day, do you know what? The principal came out, and he didn't have this stick in his hand. No, he came out, and he said, come, let's go for a walk. And so we went for a walk, and during the walk, the principal told me, much the same to what I've told you. He said, God loves rebellious people like me. And he had a little picture to show. He was saying that God, our Heavenly Father, is full of love and compassion, but he's also merciful. He knows you've done wrong, but he was willing to forgive what we had done because he had done enough for us. Even though I'd done wrong by God, out of his wonderful kind love, he made it possible through Jesus for me to know him. And so God would forgive me if I said sorry for being rebellious, if I accepted his offer for forgiveness. And so just like the rebellious son in Jesus' story, I came to my senses. And that day I realized that for the first time, I realized that it was me. It was me that was rebellious in my heart, that I'd sinned against God, the Heavenly Father. And for the first time, I saw I was guilty. I was in the wrong. I thought other people were in the wrong. But I actually owned up and confessed. It was me. And so that was the day that I said sorry to God, the Heavenly Father, and he was waiting with his beautiful love for me. Now, I told you, Jesus told this story for his listeners and for us. Jesus told this story because he wants broken people to know the perfect God. And the only way to know that broken people can know the perfect God is through Jesus. You see, Jesus, who told the story, is the only way to know God the Father. Jesus shows us, Jesus tells us what God is like, who God is. It is only through Jesus that we can know that God who made us and made this world. It's only through Jesus that we can find love and forgiveness through God the Father. It is only through trusting in Jesus those many years ago that I received God's love and forgiveness. And so, do you want to be part of God's family? Well, you're here today because you needed to hear this story in some way. You didn't know it was coming, but God wanted you to hear it. And Jesus told this story many years ago to the people listening, but knowing that it'd be recorded and shared with people like you and me here today, Jesus told so that you could see that you need to be part of God's family too. And here at Burwood Baptist, we want you to meet Jesus. And so each week we gather on Sunday mornings now to meet Jesus through the Bible, and we share lives with each other, whether it's over morning tea or throughout the week in various ways, as brothers and sisters in God's family. We learn about our beautiful Heavenly Father and aim to live to make him happy. And so if you would like to find out more about Jesus, about the stories in the Bible, about the Christian faith, then Ed, who is playing the guitar, is going to start a small group that will explore and discuss things about Christianity, about what it's all about. And so on the back of the seats, there's a QR code that you can scan and you can message Ed there, or you can come chat with myself or Pastor Dylan after and talk with us. And I want to invite everyone, if you're the first time here, if you're just visiting, you're always welcome. Please come back. We'd most welcome you. And maybe consider coming week by week to learn about Jesus, who brings life, love, and the perfect family. Well, thank you very much for listening. Yeah. I think we... Oh, that's right. Yes. I'll put this in. We've got a friend who's going to come. Do you guys remember? We had someone. Was it Momo? I think so. If you're interested, maybe if you're like maybe about this high or lower, do you want to come? You can sit out here if you want to be closer to see. Anyone? Esther, do you want to come? Anyone want to come out here? Okay, you come. Come have a seat. I'm just going to pass this on. Who? My wife? Okay, come sit up. Is it on? Is it behind you?
Good morning, boys and girls. It is really lovely to see you. And I heard some people calling out for Momo. Do you guys want to come down? Anybody who's younger who hasn't yet come? You're going to get the best seats of the puppets from up the front. Okay. Some of you were calling out for Momo. Let's see if Momo might come and make an appearance for us, okay? Come out, Momo. You want to come out, Momo? I think we might need to call out for Momo. Ready?
Momo!
Come out, Momo. Oh, Momo. Hello. On Friday, you met some of these kids at Holiday Kids Club, but this morning you get to meet everybody at Burwood Baptist Church. Say hello, Momo.
Hi, Momo. Everyone. Whoa, there's a lot of people here this morning.
Don't worry, Momo. We're a very friendly bunch. Now, Momo, how's your morning been so far?
Well, actually, I'll tell you something. I'm a bit mad. Give me a moment.
Momo, what is all this? That's right. Momo, we can see that you're not quite... No. Oh, okay. We can see that you're a bit worked up this morning. What happened?
Well, Dad said if I helped him cook breakfast this morning, I'd get extra bacon.
Oh, something we learnt at Holiday Kids Club is that bacon and ice cream are your favourite.
Yeah? That's right.
Yeah.
So, what do? I get up early, I help Dad in the kitchen, but listen to this. I'd cooked up all the bacon, put two on my plate, and while I was washing up in the sink, Dad served my plate of bacon to my brother. Not only that, he gave away my food. My brother, who had been at Lazy Bones, had just gotten up from bed when I was awake an hour earlier. Dad said he didn't realize it was my food he was giving away and that he'd make it up to me.
Oh, Momo, that sounds rough, doesn't it?
Yeah,
oh, sounds rough. Poor thing.
So I said to Dad, okay, if I can't have the extra bacon, I want some ice cream instead on top of my bacon. But do you know what? My brother says he finished the tub last night because he was hungry after dinner. So we're out of ice cream. Ah!
Oh, no. Sounds like things have not gone to plan for you, Momo.
Life is so unfair. I can feel my cheeks being red. And my heart going boom, 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 boom. And I'm so cross at them. My dad, he messed up. And my brother took my share. It's not fair. He always gets everything. And I always miss out. I do all the work and look at how I get treated by my family. I'm so mad. Ah!
Oh, Momo. Listen, do you think life sometimes is not fair? Yeah. Sometimes it's not fair. It sounds like you had a hard time, Momo. But can I ask you a question?
Sure, that's one. Would you like to ask another?
Yes, I'd like to ask another question. Can I ask, did you buy the bacon?
No.
Okay. Did you buy the ice cream?
No.
Okay. So it wasn't your money you spent?
No.
And was it your time? Did you go to the shops and buy any of these things?
No.
No. Okay. And you said that Dad got up early to cook breakfast with you this morning, yeah?
Yeah.
So
did.
I'm just wondering, what did he get out of it? What was his reward for buying the bacon and the ice cream and spending the time cooking it with you?
I don't know. I guess nothing.
Nothing. Right, right. So sometimes we get so caught up in thinking what is ours and what we deserve. And we forget that we're just lucky to be given what we get given. So I'm hearing you still had some bacon this morning, right?
Yeah. But my brother had even more bacon and he had more ice cream. And he knows that they're my favourite food. They're not even his favourite.
Yes, I heard that, Momo. But that's not the point.
Then what is the point?
Well, surely bacon and ice cream can't be the point of living, Momo. There are bigger things than that. You have a father who loves you. Who is generous to you? He provides for you. Now, what would he do if you asked him to buy more bacon and more ice cream?
Well, he'd buy me more if I asked. Actually, even before I asked him, he'd buy it.
Exactly, right? So you have a father who knows you, who cares for you, and even more than that, you have a heavenly father who knows all of your needs. And he will provide for you. He will never leave you and he will never be away. He will stay with you throughout your whole life.
I think I see what you're saying. That there are bigger and better things than bacon and ice cream in life.
Yes, everything in this life belongs to our Heavenly Father. He created it all. He made you. He knows what you need. So just ask him. Ask him. And he will provide what you need. God is good all the time.
Well, you know, I am still a little bit mad, but that's helped me calm down a lot. Dad is good, gooder than bacon and ice cream, but God is goodest. Okay, gotta go now. Bye!
Bye, Mama! Bye-bye! Now, kids, that was really helpful, wasn't it? Did you hear what Momo had to say? Okay. Do you know, I really liked hearing that Dad is good, gooder than bacon and ice cream, but God is goodest. Now, you may walk away from here. One day, you're going to forget about Momo. You're going to forget about bacon. You're going to forget about ice cream even. But don't forget that God loves you and he will provide for you. How special it is to belong to his family.